Okay, so tomorrow, so actually tonight is the 17th of Tammuz. We'd be the fast begins early tomorrow morning, and I thought I would just spend some time discussing the significance of the fast day, what it's all about, what exactly what we commemorate on Shavuot of Tammuz, on the 17th day of Tammuz, and perhaps some lessons that we can learn from it as well. And so the discussion really begins with a Mishnah, or perhaps even earlier, we'll see in a moment, actually the Tanakh itself, that describes what happened on this day. The Mishnah that we're going to look at is the Mishnah beginning of the fourth perek of Maseches Tanis, where the Mishnah tells us the following: B'Shivas B'Tamas, on the 17th of Tammuz, Chamish Devarim Iros Avosenu, five things, we'll see in a moment, five tragedies befell our people on Shavasar B'Tammuz. And the Mishnah says as well, not only do five bad things happen on Shavasar B'Tammuz, but also five bad things happen on Tisha B'Av, on the ninth of Av. So the Mishnah first tells us what happened on Shavasar B'Tammuz. Shavasar B'Tammuz, Ishtabru Haluchos. So number one, this was the day that all the way back at the early dawn of our history, for our people, when the Jewish people, shortly after they left Egypt, and after they received the Torah, this is the day when Moshe descended the mountain and had heard from Hashem about what was happening with the Chet Ego, with the worship of the golden calf. And as we know, as Moshe descends the mountain, and then he gets closer to the camp, as he's making his way together with Yehoshua, he famously breaks the luchos, the tablets that God had given to him. So when did that occur? When did Moshe break the tablets? That occurred on the 17th of Tammuz. That's the first thing. The next thing is Batal HaTamid, that the daily sacrifice, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, every morning and every afternoon, there was a korban tamid, a daily sacrifice that was brought, tamid shal shachar, the tamid shal bein harbayim, our davening today, our shachris, and our mincha davening is patterned after this daily communal sacrifice. Well, at a certain point, the Jews were unable, no longer able to bring that korban anymore, that daily sacrifice. Rashi says here on the Mishnah, the fisha gazra hamachos gzeira mahakrif od, that the Malchus, doesn't say which kingdom, but some kingdom, some ruling authority no longer allowed the Jews to offer that sacrifice. That also happened on the 17th of Tammuz. The third thing that the Mishnah tells us, this is the most famous thing that most of us are familiar with, Baka Ha'ir. This is when the city of Yerushalayim, the walls were breached at the time of the destruction, the Beis HaMikdash, we'll see in a second, this is the first Beis HaMikdash, this is the second Beis HaMikdash, perhaps it's both. This is when the walls of the city were breached on the 17th of Tammuz. The next thing is Visaraf Apostomos Es HaTorah. Some person by the name of Apostomos, he burnt the Torah. We know for us as Jews, a Torah burning, even not intentionally, even just by accident, you know, God forbid there's a fire and a shul and a Torah is burned, it's a terrible tragedy. And this, apparently intentionally, a Torah was burnt. It's unclear who is this Apostomos and what Torah are we referring to. Is this any Torah? Is this a very specific Torah? Whatever it is, it happened on the 17th of Tammuz. And finally, the fifth thing is the Hemid Selam Behechal. And the fifth thing is that an idol was placed in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple itself. The temple, which is used to worship, to serve Hashem, some foreign idol, some foreign god was placed there. That also occurred on the 17th of Tammuz. Interestingly, Rashi suggests that this event of this idol in the Heichal actually refers to Shehamido Menashe. In Beferish B'Targum Yushalmi Parshas HaShmonim Hashemayim Kisi. This actually refers to an earlier stage, not at the time of the destruction, the first Beis HaMikdash, but at a time a good 100 years prior to it, when Menashe was the king. Menashe was the son of Chizkiyo, the righteous king Chizkiyo. He then unfortunately had a son who was went polar opposite the direction. He embraced the idolatry, and the Navi describes to the extent in which he embraced the idols of the Assyrians, the extent that he brought these idols into the Holy of Holies, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the base of Migdash itself. It's hard to imagine this Jewish king, the son of such a righteous person. There's a whole discussion, and it's based upon conflicting verses in Sefer Melachim, Sefer Divrei Hayamim, whether he ever did teshuvah or not, he ever repented. But nonetheless, it's clear for a significant amount of his reign, at the very least, he embraced idolatry, and he brought this idol into the Beis HaMikdash. And again, we have this tradition that happened also on Shavuot Batamas. So this is not a good day. That's the bottom line. The bottom line from this Mishnah is you have these five tragedies that occurred on Shavuot Batamas, the tablets being broken, the daily sacrifice no longer being able to be brought, the wall of the city being breached just prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself. You have this Aspostomos, whoever he is, who burns the Torah, and finally this idol being placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, perhaps even this Jewish king, Menashe, doing it. These five things, according to the Mishnah, all occurred on Shavuot Batamas. And then the Mishnah continues about these five tragedies that occurred on Tisha B'Av. The five tragedies being, of course, the destruction of the first, as well as the second Beis HaMikdash. Going back earlier, the decree for the Jewish people, we read a few weeks ago in Parsha Shlach, the Jewish people who cried when they heard the report of the spies, and therefore were the decree was issued that they would not be able to enter into the land of Israel. They have to wait till the generation would die out. Milkata Beitar, the city of Beitar, was some point after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, this large Jewish city was plundered and thousands were killed. And Nechesh HaIr, and the city itself, the Yerushalayim, eventually was plowed under at a certain point, also later on after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's all Tisha B'Av. These other five things that I mentioned first all happened on Shavuot Batamas. So we know how bad Tisha B'Av is, as we just saw in the Mishnah. This Mishnah also seems to imply that Shavuot Batamas, also a day of tragedy, one thing after the other. And the Gemara then now tears them apart and looks at each one. And so I'm not going to read through everything the Gemara says, but the Gemara first tries to figure out how do we know that on the 17th of Tammuz, that was the day that Moshe broke the tablet. So that's not so hard to figure out, because we know that the Torah was given on the 7th, on the 6th, or perhaps the 7th of Sivan. Did Moshe go up the mountain the next day? Did he go up on the 7th day, the day he received the Torah, that we heard the Ten Commandments? You count 40 days later, we know Moshe was on the mountain 40 days. 40 days later is the 17th of Tammuz. That's when he descends, comes down the mountain. That's when the Luchos are broken. That's what that's pretty straightforward. The Gemara continues and tells us Batel HaTamid, that the daily sacrifice was no longer able to be brought. How do we know that? That happened on the 17th of Tammuz. The Gemara simply says, Gemara, it's a tradition. It's a tradition that that's when it occurred. And the Talmud Yerushalmi, in its commentary of this Mishnah, tries to understand, when exactly did this happen historically? So the Yerushalmi says, also Maseches Tanis, Reb Simon b'Shem Reb Yehuda ben Levi, b'Yos Malchus Yavan. This happened actually during the times of the Greeks. Maybe sometime around the Hanukkah story, a little bit after the Hanukkah story. In fact, it tells us a story that there was, at a certain point, there was a siege around the city, and the Jews would give money, and in return, they would send them some animals to be used as for the daily sacrifice. And at one point, they sent the wrong animals. They were kosher animals, but they weren't the right animals for the korban. And then at a certain point, it got so they actually sent pigs. Imagine they sent pigs. So they couldn't bring the korban anymore. And that was sometime during the some point during the Greek reign over Israel. That's one possibility. And another possibility, Gemara says, Afime Malchus Arisha Zos. So that maybe this happened during the time period of maybe the Roman siege. At a certain point, the Jews weren't able to bring the daily sacrifice. This is so tragic. You know, there's the Korban Tamid was the main avoda service in the Beis Hamikdash. This was what was done day in and day out. This is the when you're familiar with the Tanaic dispute as to what's the most important pasuk in the Torah, and one opinion is that Shema Yisrael, Shem Lakino, Shem Echad. Another opinion is that it's V'hafrecha Kamocha, to love your neighbor as yourself. And there's this famous third opinion. No, it's Esakevus Achot Aseva Bokeh Esakevus Ashenit Aseva Bein Rabayim. It's this pasuk that tells us about the mitzvah of the daily sacrifice. That this was the bread and butter of our service to God. Everyone tries to figure out why that pasuk is so critical. Some say homiletically it talks about consistency, about being a Jew, day in and day out serving God, not just coming to shul on Yom Kippur, but serving God is all the time. It's constant, it's consistent. But this was the main avoda. This is what it was all about. This was the service in the Beis Hamikdash. That was nullified when that was prevented. Whether at the time of the Greeks or the time of the Romans, whatever exactly, maybe the Babylonians, whatever exactly it was, that was. You can imagine how jarring and how painful that was for the Jewish people not to be. It's like for us the last few months not being able to go to shul and daven. We live in the shul. We come to shul three times a day to daven. Not being able to do that, how painful that was. And that's what happened. We were prevented by these authorities to do that on this day as well. What's fascinating then is the next discussion. The next discussion is what's most famous, that the walls were breached. Right? The city, if you're familiar with Sefer Melachim, and Sefer Yirmiyahu as well, it's described that it was a slow process when the Babylonians came to destroy the first Beis Hamikdash. It's like they marched in, and all on that day they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. It was the city was a walled city, and it was pretty strong, and it took a long time for them to be able to ultimately to enter the city and destroy the Beis Hamikdash. And initially there was a siege, and that siege is what we commemorate the fast day of the 10th of Teves. The Sar Teves began the siege. Well, at a certain point, they were finally able to enter into the city. The problem is that, and the Gemara points this out as already, when you read the Psukim in Sefer Melachim, and it's more explicit in Yirmiyahu, when he describes it, Yirmiyahu, of course, is the who lived and experienced, Jeremiah lived and experienced the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. He's the author of Eicha, Lamentations, that we read on Tisha B'Av night. So Yirmiyahu is very explicit as to when this event occurred. When was the wall breached? So he tells us B'chodesh Haravi, B'tisha L'chodesh, in the fourth month. The month begin from Nisan. So Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz. Okay, the fourth month Tammuz. B'tisha L'chodesh, on the ninth of the month. Tonight is the 17th. We missed it. Right, we're a week late. What happened? And so the Gemara is bothered by that. What are you telling me? What is the Mishnah telling me on the 17th of Tammuz that that's when the walls were breached? It's not true. It's read Tanakh. It said it happened on the 9th. Right? The Gemara says Haksib, but it says in Yirmiyahu Bachodesh Hashvi Batisha Lachodesh. There was the famine was very strong. Uksiv Basri Batipakayir. The wall was breached. So how do you understand that our Mishnah? So Amar Rava Lokasha Kan Barishona Kan Bishnia Tanya Barishona Hukba Ir Batisha Batamuz Bishnia Bishiva Sarbo. No, you're right. Of course, it happened on the 9th of Tammuz, but that was the first Beis Hamikdash. At the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, right? Both Batei Migdash, both temples were destroyed on the 9th of Av. There also was a wall during the period of the Second Temple. There also the Romans, like the Babylonians before them, laid siege to the city. And it was the Romans who broke through. They were a little late. It took them a little longer than the Babylonians. They didn't get through until the 17th of Tammuz. And presumably, the Mefarshim explained, we commemorate not the 9th, but the 17th, because we're impacted by the second destruction, the second base of Megdash, right? The first base of Megdash was destroyed, but then the second one was built. But now we're, unfortunately, facing the repercussions of the destruction of the second base of Megdash. This time, the second temple, the city was, the walls were breached on the 17th of Tammuz, and therefore that's what we commemorate. That's how the Gemara here in the Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, resolves this contradiction between the Mishnah and the Pesukim in Malachim and Yirmiyahu. There's a fascinating, however, insight or another suggestion that's offered by the Talmud Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi just says the following. It could be that Kilkul Cheshbonos Yish Kan. You know what? It really did happen on the 17th of Tammuz, not only the second base of Migdash, but the first base of Migdash as well. That's when the walls were breached. That's when the Babylonians, and that's when the Romans also, the Romans and the Babylonians, both 400, 500 years apart, that's when they entered the city. And when they entered the city, both at the time the Babylonians and later the Romans, that was the end, right? It's pretty amazing to think about it. It still took them 3 weeks to destroy the base of Migdash. You know, all of you, everyone here who's been to Israel, so you go through Shar Yafo, right? Shar Yafo is now the wall of, on the gates and the wall of the modern day wall of Yerushalayim that was built by, during the Ottoman Empire. And so how long does it take to get you from, by the time you just walk, time you walk from Shar Yafo, how long does it take to get to the Kotel? 10 minutes? All right, it's not that long a walk. Right, you meander through the streets, you get there in 10, 15 minutes. Maybe less, maybe drop more. What took the Romans, the Babylonians, 3 weeks to destroy the base of Migdash? So I think Rasal Vachik suggested that that you see the Jews still tried to defend the base of Migdash as best as they could. And even suggested on Tisha B'Av morning when we say the kinos, one of the kinos is specifically talks about the Kohanim, the 24 Mishmaros, the 24 they had a rotation throughout the year. They had you're on 1 week and then only once every 24 weeks you're on. And so there's a kino that talks about these 24 different Mishmaros, and Salvechik suggests that maybe we have this kino that highlights the Kohanim to in order to somewhat celebrate the Kohanim defended the Beis HaMikdash. They were the ones who were there, who are still trying to protect the Beis HaMikdash from the onslaught of the Babylonians and many hundred years later from the Romans. But it took them 3 weeks. But in any event, he says here the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the breach happened, even in the first Beis HaMikdash, happened on the 17th. So what about the Pasuk? The Pasuk says it was the 9th, wasn't the 17th. So says the Yerushalmi, something so powerful. You know what happened? They got mixed up. Right? The people were so confused. They were in such a state of disarray and of shock, and they were under siege for so long. They didn't know what time it was. Well, they didn't know what the date was on the calendar. Anyone who's ever been in a hospital, you visit someone, you're a patient in the hospital, you know what's always opposite the other side of the bed? There's always a calendar. Right, there's always a calendar. There's always, it tells you the date, because when you're sitting in a hospital room day after day, recovering, getting better, and you're inside, and you're often you can't see out the window. There may not even be a window, may not be near the window. You get so discombobulated and confused. So they have that calendar to help somehow keep you focused and to somehow keep you, understanding what the day is. So you can imagine the Jewish people. They didn't have smartphones, right? they lost track. And what's fascinating, and this the Korban HaEda, one of the commentaries on Yerushalmi notes, you see that the Navi intentionally left in the incorrect date. He left in the date that the Jews thought was the date, even though we know that they made a mistake. It wasn't the 9th, it was the 17th. Why? He says, Mirovat Saros To, Bechashbonos. Right, because of the terrible tragedy that was unfolding before them, the distress, the anxiety, and the pressure, and the fear that they were under, they got so confused they didn't even know what day it was. the Lo Ratza Hamikra Lishanos, and the Navi, the Navi who recorded this, did not want to change from what the people thought. Masha Samcha Am Lomar, why? Kiviyacho, a very powerful statement from Tehillim, Anochi Imo Betzara. The God was saying that I am with you in your time of distress. The God wanted the Navi to put in the date that the people thought to symbolize that Hashem was sensitive to us. That Hashem was with us in that moment of pain and suffering. He understood the fear and the anxiety and the trepidation, the confusion that the Jews were experiencing. And therefore, again, even though it really happened on the 17th of Tammuz, even the first base of Mikdash, but since they thought it was the 9th, they were so confused, we intentionally kept the date. So that's the third event that occurred on the 17th, and that's the most famous event. Because we have a series of fast days that commemorate the destruction of the base of Mikdash. Tisha B'Av, I mentioned the 10th of Teves, when the siege began. Now the 17th of Tammuz, when the wall was breached. And then finally Tzom Gedaliah, which is the final conclusion of the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, when the appointed a governor, the Jewish governor that the Babylonians appointed, was assassinated by a fellow Jew, and the Jews had to run for their lives. That happened on Rosh Hashanah. Al Tishrei, after the destruction of the base of Mikdash on the 9th of Av, we don't commemorate Rosh Hashanah because we don't fast Rosh Hashanah. We commemorate on the 3rd of Tishrei, the day after Rosh Hashanah. In any event, all these four fast days focus on the Chorban, on the destruction of the base of Mikdash. But again, this Mishnah is pointing out it's not the only thing that occurred. Again, we've already seen this is when the luchos, when the tablets were broken. This is when at some point that the daily sacrifice stopped. And now we've seen the walls were breached. And then the next thing is that this aspostomos, this person burnt the Torah. And again, the Gemara says it's a Gemara. It's a tradition that it happened on the 17th of Tammuz. And again, we're not exactly sure exactly who he was or when this happened. Is this a Greek leader? It's a little bit unclear. Historians have different thoughts and suggestions. But some even say that the Torah that he burned was not just any Torah, but it was the Torah of Ezra. That when the Jews had come back to rebuild the Second Commonwealth, Ezra had created as a Torah that was like the Torah that didn't have any mistakes in it, that everyone could compare notes and, you know, if you had questions. And this Torah was kept in the second base of Mikdash, and this aspostomos burnt that Torah. And again, if you can imagine what kind of tragedy that would be. It's like for the Jews, the Syrian Jews, the Aleppo Codex, if you're familiar with, was like this. It was written in the 900s, and it was also a work that all other Torah scrolls were compared to. And Rambam used the Aleppo Codex to when he wrote his halachos of Sefer Torah. And at a certain point, I forget exactly, in the 40s and 50s, when in Syria, when there was a lot of unfortunately, the Jews of Syria were faced terrible persecution as a result of their anger and animosity towards the state of Israel. At a certain point, this Aleppo Codex, something happened to it. It got burned. Part of it got burned. Something got lost. It's a whole interesting thing in terms of what happened to it. But for Syrian Jews, it was such a painful event to lose this codex. And so if you understand their pain, so certainly if the Jews, if this was the Torah of Ezra, you know, that this would be something that would be so tragic and something that we certainly would recall even all these centuries later. And then finally, the fifth event, as we saw in the Mishnah, is Hamid Selam Behechal, that this idol was placed in the base of Mikdash. We saw Rashi's suggestion that maybe Menashe did it. Again, it could be also the time of the Greeks. We know that the Greeks placed these idols in the Hanukkah story in the base of Mikdash. You lump all these things together, and this is what occurred on Tisha B'Av. And it's interesting, tomorrow we say in davening, it's a longer davening, we say a series of slichos. Right? On fast days, we always say slichos. A fast day, I'll show you in a second, is a time for introspection, for reflection, for teshuva, for repentance. And so just like leading up to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we say the slichos, which we ask God for forgiveness, and we look within ourselves. So we say this on the fast days as well. If you'll notice tomorrow, there's three specific paragraphs that are dedicated specifically were written for this fast, and all three talk about these five things. Every single one. The first one is very explicit. The first one, the way it works is there's a stanza, and then it always ends off the same line. You know, why are we so distressed? Why are we in so much pain? Why is this day such a terrible day? Oh, the first thing it says, "Kishivaser b'tamos nishtabro luchos." You know why? Because on the 70th of Tamos, the luchos broke. Right? Moshe broke the luchos. And then it tells you, "Shivaser b'tamos nishtafa Torah." On the 70th of Tamos, the Torah was burnt. And then it says, "B'shivaser b'tamos hemet samhecho." An idol was placed in the temple. "Shivaser b'tamos hukba ir." And the 70th of Tamos, the city was breached. The walls were breached. And then Shivaser b'tamos batal tamid. On the 70th of Tamos, the daily sacrifice was nullified. They couldn't bring anymore. It's interesting. This piyut, this slicha, is in a different order of the Mishnah, and it suggests, I think, that it's putting things in chronological order. And it's telling the first thing was the time of Moshe when he broke the luchos, and the next two items, I think, were the times of the Greeks. We're assuming when the Torah was burnt, and the idol was put in the heichal. And then the next thing is maybe referring to the, like the Talmud Bavli says, that the wall was breached the time of the Romans, Hubakair, the walls were breached. And then finally, this makes sense, that after the walls were breached, well, at a certain point, they weren't able to bring the daily sacrifice anymore, right? Because in a moment, they're going to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So, Batal HaTamid. So that's obviously the author of this Slicha assumes that that's the proper chronological order. But the other two slichos that we say as well tomorrow, they also emphasize this point. And I just want to end with two final points. Number one is that many of the slichos, including, we'll see on Tisha B'Av, the kinos, as well as even Eicha itself, they often try to end off on a positive note. You know, that we'll do teshuva, that things will get better, that Hashem will have mercy upon us. And so it says here at the end of this first slicha that, yeah, all these terrible things happen on Shivaser b'tamos, but the Shivaser b'tamos hafach lon v'sasol l'simcha. Ultimately, everything will turn around. Ultimately, it will be a day for gladness and joy. Hey, the Shivaser b'tamos hafach lon v'simcha l'sasol. It'll be a day for joy and for gladness. L'yom Yeshua nechama. For salvation and for comfort. And how does the author of the Slicha know that that will be the case? So there's a pasuk in Sefer Zechariah that the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah talks about in Yud Ches Amid Beis, which is actually the source for all the fast days that we have, leaving Tanis Esther as an aside. And Yom Kippur, of course, you know from the Torah, but the other fast days that I've mentioned, Shivaser b'tamos, Tisha B'Av, Som Gedalia, Sar B'teves, the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Komar Hashem Tzvakos, Somar Avid, Somar Chemishit, Somar Shavit, Somar Siri, Yila Beis Yudol, Lesosnum Simcha. Ultimately, these fast days will be days of gladness and joy. Like right now, they're Tzom. Right now, they're fast days. But ultimately, there'll be Soson this Simcha. Ultimately, there'll be days of gladness and joy. And so I think that's important to keep in mind that Jews were always hopeful towards the future. That right now we mourn, right now we cry, and we reflect on these painful events that befell our people. But we also are hopeful towards the future that these will, God willing, soon be days of joy as well. And it's always important to mention, as I briefly mentioned before, the Rambam when he discusses fast days in general. You know, it always bothers me when people wish one another. I know it's always, they're always well intentioned. They wish, someone before a fast day an easy fast. So I don't know if a fast day is supposed to be an easy. You know, again, you hope it's easy. It shouldn't be too painful or troubling. But a much more, I think, a better way to greet someone and to express your feelings before a fast is not to have an easy fast, but to have a meaningful fast. And how do you have a meaningful fast? So the Rambam tells us that the mitzvahs say that it's a positive commandment. This is the beginning of the laws of Tanis, laws of fasting, the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. Mitzvah say Torah lizok laria bechatzotros. It's a mitzvah, it's a positive commandment to cry out to God. Called Sarah Shatovati, whenever there's a distress that's affecting our people, the Jewish response is to cry out, to pray, and this is part of repentance. When something bad is happening, part of the Jewish response is to look within, is to look at ourselves, and to engage in teshuva. As Jews, it's not easy to do this, but we are charged to somehow look within us and say, well, you know, maybe God's sending us a message. Maybe there are things collectively and personally that we need to change. And the Rambam says that when something bad happens, you shouldn't say the minhag ha'olam ira lano, but sorrow zeh nikras. We don't say it's just happenstance. You know, this is just our bad luck. We don't believe that as Jews. We believe that there's a God who's running the world. We don't understand things, and we don't necessarily know the reasons, but nonetheless, we are challenged to use it as an opportunity for growth and for change and for improvement. And in fact, Ram says it's cruel to say it's just happenstance. It's just, you know, the way of the world. No, it's God sort of telling us, hey, you guys got to shape up. Time to improve yourselves. Time to really look within. And so that's the responsibility of the fast day. And, you know, the Rambam, you know, is not just making this up. If you, in fact, recall on Yom Kippur, it's very powerful. On Yom Kippur, the Haftorah on Yom Kippur is from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, who lived at the time of not the destruction of the first base, because that was Yirmiyahu, but about 100 years beforehand, when the 10 tribes were exiled. And Isaiah tells us that if all a person does when they fast is to afflict themselves and not to to eat, and to think that that's sufficient, so the Yeshayahu says you're missing the point. Says, I'll read it in English. Can such be the fast that I choose, says God, a day when man merely afflicts himself? Can it be bowing his head like a bulrush and making a mattress of sackcloth and ashes? You know, just putting on tattered clothing and refraining from eating, that's not what the day is all about. Do you call this a fast and a day of favor to Hashem? Rather, Halozet Som Avchareinu, what is the fast day that I really want, says God? Open the bonds of wickedness. Dissolve the groups that pervert justice. Let the oppressed go free and annul all perverted justice. Surely you shall divide your bread with the hungry and bring the moaning poor to your home. When you see the naked, cover him. Do not ignore your kin. Then your light will burst forth like the dawn, and your healing and speedily sprout. Then your righteous deed will precede you, and the glory of Hashem will gather you in. Right? In other words, if you're fasting and you're praying and you're saying slichos, but you don't change yourself, you're not sensitive that there's people around you maybe right now that are out of jobs, that are suffering financially. There are people that are struggling. There are people that are alone. There are people that can use a warm embrace and help and assistance and sensitivity and compassion. That's and you missed the boat. That's not right. And Yeshayahu also, we also in the Haftorah actually of the Shabbos of just prior to Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazon Yeshayahu, the Haftorah there also talks about this. That, you know, God doesn't want our sacrifice. He doesn't want our Shabbos and our Yantif and our Shchodesh. If we're perverting justice, if we're not taking care of the widow and the orphan and the poor and the destitute, right? Our God wants us to take care of one another, be supportive and to be kind. And so that's why the fast day is not just about fasting. The reason why we fast is just because we're telling ourselves food's not important right now. There's other things that we need to do. Let's not focus on physicality today. Today's a time of serious reflection, of really engaging in teshuvah and in repentance. And if we do that, that's what the Navi Zechariah tells us, ultimately it will be a day of sas of a simcha. Then it'll be of gladness and joy, because if we use it correctly, if we use it for self-improvement and communally and collectively as a people to change our ways, well, then the possibilities are endless in terms of what God hopefully will do for us and provide for us. But it's up to us. So a fast day, you know, no one likes to fast, right? That's not a pleasant, especially you know, here in the northern hemisphere in the summer, this is a very long fast. Certainly is not an easy one, but it should be looked at as an opportunity, as something that we don't want, as you know, no one wanted these five terrible tragedies to occur, but now that we have it, to use it to its fullest and to take advantage of it, to you know, to daven and to say the slichos and truly think about what the day is all about, but not to let the day go to waste. Not you just, you know, looking at one's watch and looking at watching the minutes tick by and hoping that it ends quickly, but rather thinking about and spending some time in solitude and reflection about how can we change? How can we become better? What does God want from us? Right? What are we doing here? What things do we need to correct? What things do we need to fix? And if we do that, so then again, Zechariah tells us that the day will be changed from its own, from a fast day, to a day of sasa and v'simcha, a day of gladness and joy. So I hope everyone tomorrow, hope the fast is easy, but I also hope that it's a meaningful fast and a fast in which we're really able to take advantage of the day and to, if we need to make changes, to make those unnecessary changes and adjustments, and that God should look favorably down upon us to see our sincerity, our devotion, and only bless us indeed with sason v'simcha, with gladness, joy, Yeshua Nechama, salvation, and comfort. Thank you very much, everyone.
Rabbi?